Be Rad podcast is brought to you by MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Brad's macadamia masterpiece, mind-blowing nut butter blend now available on Amazon. Bala enzyme, electrolyte and triple enzyme recovery drink mix. Paleo Valley, nutrient-rich, ancestral-inspired health products. By Optimizers, performance supplements like magnesium, probiotics, and more. And B-Rad Whey Protein Super Fuel, coming soon. Stay tuned for details. And please visit bradkearns.com to check out my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance with great discounts for listeners. And here we go with the show.
You have to go looking for piles of grain foods to establish the foundation of your personal food pyramid. These puzzling illnesses that were quite apparent to be triggered by the consumption of anti-nutrients in plants. Agricultural farming for plant foods is arguably just as bad or similarly bad as raising animals.
Hey, listeners, I discovered an awesome new electrolyte and triple enzyme powdered drink that's going to knock your socks off. It's called Bala Enzyme, and it comes in a convenient little pouch of bright orange powder that you pour into water for the ultimate electrolyte and antioxidant drink. It's simple, convenient, and yes, the orange tint comes from a potent serving of turmeric, along with a clean and diverse assortment of enzymes and electrolytes, and a perfect taste that's not fake or too sweet. Bala was created by husband and wife doctors to help their patients recover from inflammation, improve hydration, speed up recovery, even relieve joint pain, improve digestion, and boost immunity. I love their incredible devotion to product quality. There's a lot of research behind it. And I just sprinkle this packet into ice water, and it's so easy to stay hydrated because you absolutely enjoy the taste of the drink. Get their convenient little packets. They even designed it with the tear half torn, so it's easy to open into the water. I love what they think of. And it comes in three exciting flavors: pineapple, lime, and berry. It's so potent, it might stain your fingers if you get it on your fingers. And yes, that's a good thing for a serving of turmeric that's that potent. It's also sugar-free, zero carb, and promoting of the three R's: rehydrate, relieve, and revive. Please visit balaenzyme.com, B-A-L-A-E-N-Z-Y-M-E. And of course, there's a special deal for B-Rad podcast listeners, 30% off your first order. Just use the code B-R-A-D-30 at balaenzyme.com.
Hi, listeners. Welcome to a part two episode talking about the subject of Brad's diet over the decades and leading us into modern times and my top secret C&C dietary strategy for fat reduction, health, and long-term enjoyment. That C&C stands for carnivore and chocolate. But in part one, we went through a timeline dating back to my childhood and how I grew up with the advent of all these unfortunate dynamics of modern culture, modern society, the advent of processed foods, and the continued escalation of toxic, heavily processed, nutrient-deficient foods into the diet of the human. So I grew up in sync with the rise of fast food culture, especially because I grew up in Southern California, where the major fast food chains all originated. And we had the TV dinners and the more convenience and the more stuff that was frozen, packaged, wrapped up, as compared to the old days and people of a different generation. Dr. Kate Shanahan puts that number at 1950, where if you were born before 1950, you had a great head start in those early formative years of life, where you were able to enjoy preponderance of home-cooked meals from fresh natural ingredients. And then after 1950, after we emerged from war times, that's when we started tipping over to TV dinners, fast foods, and more processed foods. So I had a lot of junk go into my mouth during my early years of life. But fortunately, we also had a great foundation of healthy home-cooked meals. And that was a real advantage. Dr. Kate explains in further detail in her book, Deep Nutrition, that those early years of life and forming a good base of connective tissue throughout the body from getting the right nutrients in your diet can have a tremendous influence on lifelong health. So then I talked about my years as a high school and collegiate athlete, and especially the struggles I had in college and having to turn my attention to dietary habits as I was trying to piece together all the reasons why I kept falling apart, breaking down, getting injured. So I got involved in the early consciousness of athletic-minded diet. Unfortunately, back in those days, in the 80s, we were all about the grain-based high-carbohydrate diet, trying to cut back on your fat intake so you don't get fat, and all those things that have been wonderfully toppled over by emerging science and the great communication that we have continuing to progress and optimize the human diet. I talk about my introduction into the world of the Primal Blueprint, thanks to Mark Sisson back in 2008. And that was a cold turkey transition away from a grain-based high-carbohydrate diet to a primal-aligned, ancestral-inspired diet. And the Primal Blueprint food pyramid and the complete list of ancestral foods that fueled human evolution for 2.5 million years as a rationale for eating this way. And I'll repeat the list as many times as possible until we all memorize it. And that is meat, fish, fowl, eggs, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds. And in the Primal Blueprint, we go to great lengths to introduce or to welcome certain modern foods that have health benefits and minimal health objections. One of those would be dark chocolate, and I've taken full advantage of that. Remember, I told you I went cold turkey in 2008 away from allowable things like frozen yogurt or whatever. I was, you know, giving myself a treat with the high carbohydrate energy bars and so forth. So when those left the picture, I had to point to dark chocolate as my one allowable indulgence. And to this day, it's a centerpiece of my diet. It has a lot of health properties, minimal sugar when I'm choosing 80-85% cacao percentage or higher. And so a wonderful addition to the diet, even though the caveman didn't know such things. And then also raw, organic, high-fat dairy would be allowable with plenty of health benefits. But again, we won't call that a paleolithic food, so we can have an approved introduction of certain modern foods that don't cause a lot of problems. And as we've evolved the Primal Blueprint message over the years, we try to be as inclusive as possible, so those interested in transitioning away from the disastrous path that we will call the standard American diet, we're trying to do things that are sustainable and enjoyable. So hey, if you enjoy some well-toasted and buttered sourdough bread once in a while, we're not going to kick you out of the club, but we want to just emphasize that transition from thinking that you have to go looking for piles of grain foods to establish the foundation of your personal food pyramid, as seen with the United States government and their food pyramid that's been out for many decades, with grains at the bottom. That's an absolutely flawed notion, and we know that the nutrition is concentrated in the animal products. We're going to talk more about that. So you're going to get most of your nutrition from that aforementioned ancestral list, and you're going to get a lot of foods in daily life that are purely energy. They're purely calories. They don't provide you with a lot of other benefit. And of course, we have plenty of food today for the most part. And so those are the things that you can scrutinize and say, hey, do I really need to pile these giant scoops of rice onto my plate before I serve myself the wonderful avocado curry from the Thai restaurant, or wherever the true nutrition and the true enjoyment is coming from the foods and the meals in your diet. Okay, so I talked about the primal, and then I ended the last show with that little revision or escalation in my commitment to ancestral eating, where we refined it to the ketogenic diet, because Mark Sisson and I put out that book in 2017, The Keto Reset Diet, one of the earliest and still best-selling books on the subject. I think it is the a wonderful way to acquaint yourself with the benefits of ketogenic eating, learn all about how the body works, and then use it as a tool occasionally, or perhaps more frequently, to do things like drop excess body fat, or to get these ketones produced and help give your brain a cleaner burning fuel source. There's wonderful benefits to be experienced, but it's not intended to be, in my opinion, a long-term strategy that you must adhere to for years and decades, carefully cutting off your carbohydrate intake at 50 grams per day or below. So that brings us to the subject of part two and the significant dietary revision that I was compelled to make in early 2019. And I'm going to pinpoint a podcast that launched in May of 2019 when I heard for the first time Dr. Paul Saladino speak so passionately and eloquently about this carnivore dietary strategy with none other than one of the smartest guys out there, Dr. Ben Greenfield. Just kidding, he's not a doctor, but he might as well be because he is the go-to source and just the wealth of knowledge that he has about all things diet, fitness, is just stunning when you listen to his shows and the amount of work he put into his gigantic best-selling books, Beyond Training and Boundless. So we have two very, very smart, well-informed guys talking very responsibly, referencing science left and right, and it seemed like Saladino pretty much blew Ben Greenfield's mind in the same manner that he blew my mind as a listener, because he was presenting this case that the foods of the plant kingdom virtually all contain these natural toxic substances called antigens or anti-nutrients, and they are designed to ward off pests, predators that will consume the plant. The plant does not want to be consumed. Its job is to evolve and reproduce. And so these natural plant toxins that we're all familiar with, that were all acknowledged by science, and it's not in dispute, but you don't need to eat these things because they can cause problems in many people, especially those sensitive with things like leaky gut or any form of chronic autoimmune or inflammatory conditions that haven't been well addressed by traditional medical treatment. So people with arthritis, asthma, allergies, all these things that we live with and deal with and struggle with and suffer with and think they're normal could be traced to your consumption of that wonderful, incredibly healthy green smoothie that you drink every morning, or that salad that you have at midday, or the steamed vegetables that you have in the evening. So this was a complete eye-opener to me. I learned some basic science that I was tremendously embarrassed that I didn't realize. For example, when you grab that handful of blueberries and shove them down your throat, thinking that you're getting a dose of potent antioxidants, what you're really getting is a food that signals for internal antioxidant production. And so what you're really getting with the blueberry and the other quote-unquote high antioxidant foods are prooxidants, things that cause oxidative stress in the body due to the aforementioned anti-nutrients. And so when you consume a blueberry, your body responds with an antioxidant defense response. So the liver manufactures an internal source of antioxidants, and that's where you get the food benefit from. It's not directly from the blueberry. I was like, wait a second, are you serious? And I had to learn it over and over and email Paul follow-up. I got him on my show. It was a fantastic show. He's been on three times, so please go back and listen to those shows with Dr. Paul Saladino. You will be strongly convinced to check some of your fixed and rigid beliefs and challenge this notion that we need to go looking for this incredible variety of plant foods in order to be a healthy human. And of course, this had me back on my heels with my head spinning, because we've spent a lot of time and energy in the Primal Blueprint series of books and everything else I've written to say, look, the vegetables, the wonderful plants of the world should be the bulk of your dietary emphasis, and you should get plenty of these and make big piles of steamed vegetables and enjoy those, or have a giant salad. I mean, Mark Sisson became famous for his big-ass salad and had it as the centerpiece of his Primal Kitchen enterprise. And then, oh man, I got Paul and Mark together. I said, Mark, you got to meet this guy. And Paul drove down from Washington State to Los Angeles en route for his first major move. He's been moving around. Now he ended up in Costa Rica. But back then he was moving from Seattle to San Diego to get more surfing in. And launch his career as a health expert. So we had a pit stop in LA. Had a nice night at my house. He cut me up some raw liver in the morning, heavily salted, frozen raw liver. I enjoyed it, and it's become a dietary practice to this day. And then when he sat down with Sisson, he pretty much shook up his mind too, and was got him in a corner and was interrogating him. Why do you need to eat that salad? Go ahead, tell me. After what we've discussed today, and how the majority of the nutrients are in the animal foods, and Mark was stammering at one point, going, "Well, I like the chewy texture of the vegetables," and we're all like, "Wow!" It was like the smoke was clearing after these interviews that I conducted with Paul, that Mark and Paul conducted, and I was there to enjoy with our cameraman, Brian McAndrew, another huge eating enthusiast that was forced to reconsider a lot of his notions. And of course, Brian and I got together with William Shufeldt and wrote the epic, wonderfully crafted book called Carnivore Cooking for Cool Dudes, because we all had been captivated by the carnivore movement and were looking for interesting, fun recipes that were carnivore-ish. So anyway, all this is happening in 2019, and the carnivore diet is emerging as a legitimate strategy, especially for people who are suffering with these puzzling illnesses that were quite apparent to be triggered by the consumption of anti-nutrients in plants.
I'm pleased to present BRAD Grass-Fed Whey Protein Isolate Superfuel, the absolute highest quality, all-natural protein supplement infused with creatine that delivers everything you need to optimize your appetite for fat loss, recover quickly from workouts, and build and maintain lean muscle mass, the single most important attribute for aging gracefully. Our protein comes directly from small family farms in America's dairy land of Wisconsin. It's cold processed and microfiltered for maximum bioavailability and digestibility. So please don't mess with the many cheap commodity protein supplements that are ineffective, inferior, less pure, and often contain junk sweeteners, especially the plant-based offerings that are vastly less bioavailable than the gold standard of protein supplements, that's whey protein isolate. Whether you're in your peak athletic years looking to grow and recover, or in the older age groups trying to delay aging and decline, whey and creatine are widely agreed to be the most critical and effective supplements to take for the rest of your life. You can easily stir the superfuel in water or make a delicious smoothie every day. I'm certain that you're going to love the pleasant, light, natural vanilla bean and cocoa bean flavors. So try some on Amazon today. It's a huge hit with dozens of five-star reviews. Or you can order direct from bradnutrition.com with our buy three, get one free, and make the super fuel a centerpiece of your daily routine. I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine, and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad.
And this is very, very personal. So some people have no problem chowing down the salad every day or having the wonderful green smoothie with all kinds of raw vegetables. And that was a practice I was dabbling in prior to 2019. So I'd cut up and freeze these big bags of chopped up kale, celery, beets, spinach, going in these giant Ziploc bags. I'd get them out. And when you freeze them, oh, of course, they last for a while. And they also kind of make the smoothie nice and cold. So I'd stuff my giant Vitamix blender full of these wonderful, nutrient-dense foods inspired by a great video by Dr. Rhonda Patrick on YouTube where she's making her own green smoothie. And she's sticking a bunch in, blending it up, and then sticking more in, top secret, so you can get more of this stuff into a single pitcher of smoothie, and talking about the amazing benefits of these molecules like sulforaphane, which is found in broccoli seeds, and it's the most potent antioxidant. And I'm like, well, I want to be as healthy as possible. I better chow down all this stuff. And so I would add protein powder and whatever, almond milk, coconut milk, something in there, and drink up these big green drinks every day. And guess what happened every single day? For however long I was doing this, a couple years where I was trying to do this with devotion, my stomach would expand, it would bloat out, and it would stick out that way for several hours. I'd say 3 to 4 hours every time I downed one of those green smoothies. I'd walk around with a bloated stomach, and sometimes I'd experience these transient sharp pains, like just walking through the house, turning a corner, and boom, my stomach would kind of light up, and then it would go away, but it would still be puffed out, and I'd have an assortment of complaints related to digestion and elimination. I thought these were all normal. I also made giant piles of stir fry, and boy, when like I was cooking for family get-togethers, I would just open up the bags, you know, from Trader Joe's and just keep cooking multiple bags of spinach and kale and red peppers and yellow peppers and green peppers, and make these delicious dietary centerpieces every day, just shoving that stuff down. I was especially fond of purple cabbage. So I'd cut up the purple cabbage and stir fry that, add some spinach leaves, a lot of spinach leaves, excuse me. And then everything reduces down when you're stir frying it right. So the amount of raw vegetables that I was eating in the smoothie and then cooked vegetables in the stir fry, and then of course, giant salads as a daily centerpiece, featuring a protein source like fish or steak or something, a lot of oil-based dressing, the healthy Primal Kitchen line, or just putting my own olive oil on it with lemon juice and consuming these things. So I had this kind of plant-heavy, bulky diet for many, many years, believing this was the epitome of health practice. And I also had, like I said, an assortment of minor complaints or conditions relating to digestion and elimination. I think my whole athletic life, I've had a connection between high-intensity, high-impact workouts, like a sprint workout, jumping workout, and leaky pipes. So they have the association of needing to visit the toilet in the aftermath of these tough workouts. And of course, that's from all the pounding that the digestive tract takes when you're really pushing it out there. Well, guess what it also is from? I believe it was from the widespread inclusion of these sensitive foods into my diet, the toxins contained in plants. There's all kinds of terms for them. Paul Saladino can rattle those off like nobody's business. And I encourage you to go back and listen to our shows for a comprehensive coverage. But I will jump in here with a quick overview of what we're talking about and try to set the proper perspective. So these plant toxins are all kinds of different chemicals, proteins, and acids, which have the potential to damage our very delicate digestive tract, especially the gut lining, cause inflammation of the gut lining, which leads to leaky gut syndrome, which leads to a variety of autoimmune and inflammatory conditions, and also hormone imbalances, and can even affect the delicate firing of the neurotransmitters. So in general, as Paul likes to repeat frequently, here's what you want to avoid. These are the most toxic foods in the plant kingdom. The categories of roots, leaves, stems, and seeds, because this is the life force of the plant, the most important thing to protect. In contrast to, for example, the fruit of a plant, the plant is offering the fruit to you because that's part of its evolution and survival. The plant wants you to consume its fruit, and then the that who consumes it will go and poop it out somewhere else and spread the seeds of the plant. This is all basic biology, people. The plant wants you to eat the fruit, but it desperately wants to protect the roots, leaves, stems, and seeds. Otherwise, the plant will be gone if you pull it out of the ground or what have you. And so that's where the highest concentration of plant toxins are located. In practical terms, this means that you're going to want to have high alert for the food categories of grains, legumes, leafy greens, nuts, and seeds. Oh my goodness, that includes Brad's macadamia masterpiece. Wow. But the leafy green family, also a big shocker because those are widely recognized to be the most nutritious of all the foods in the plant kingdom. Oh boy. There's all kinds of different plant toxins floating around in these foods. And again, many of them trigger an antioxidant defense response in the body, which is where the plant gets lauded for its health benefits. And so it's all a balance here. And I don't want you to walk away shaking your head, especially when you hear a really enthusiastic presentation of how everyone should never eat plants again. And then it's really confusing. And so we don't want to go overboard in either direction. Same with the vegans saying that all manner of animal foods are evil and ruining the planet. And we have tremendous evidence to show that statements, blanket statements like these, are incredibly irresponsible. And agricultural farming for plant foods is arguably just as bad or similarly bad as raising animals. And of course, we can all agree that factory farming is pretty disastrous for the planet. But when animals are raised in a sustainable manner, they represent the most nutritious foods on Earth. That's very, very difficult to dispute by anyone, even someone in the vegan camp. If you look at a nutrient analysis of a slice of liver versus a stalk of broccoli, there's no comparison. Okay, so that was an aside, but back to this discussion of considering the idea of at least experimenting with the exclusion of the most toxic plant foods and determining if you have any improvement in symptoms, even mild symptoms, because most of this, for most people, is subclinical. And one statement that Paul made on one of our shows is like, hey, we're just talking about trying to optimize and perhaps move you from level 7 to level 9. And it's an interesting concept because who are we to judge what level we're at? We have the only reference point we have is ourselves, right? So I might think I'm at level 9, but I'm really only at level 7 because I eat a salad every day. Shake my head. What are you talking about? Or because my green smoothie is bringing me down from potentially level 9 to level 7 when I think it's bringing me up from level 7 to level 9. You get what I mean? So we have to test and experiment and maintain an open mind and think critically about all these concepts. And that's why the carnivore message was so resonant to me. It's like, wow, I have to take a look at this. Some of the anti-nutrients contained in plant foods. Lectins is probably the most prominent, and gluten is the most common and most known form of lectin. This is widely recognized to cause all kinds of havoc in the body for especially the sensitive people, right? The celiac and the people that are highly sensitive will have an adverse event as soon as they take a slice of pizza or a slice of bread. But gluten is pretty much a toxin to everyone, and it's very difficult to digest. Even those who are mildly sensitive and never notice anything, we're all sensitive at some level, and it has the potential to inflame the digestive tract and trigger an autoimmune response in the body for consuming this agent that we have not adapted, evolved to digest successfully. There's also a category called phytic acid or phytates, and these phytates bind minerals in the digestive tract and inhibit their absorption. So it's kind of like consuming too much fiber. You get too much phytic acid and thereby strip yourself of the potential of ingesting these minerals and absorbing them. We have soy and also flax foods, which are widely consumed and widely touted as healthy, but they're 200 times more estrogenic than any other food category. And so they have the potential to throw off your sex hormones. Oxalates is another big category. These can bind with minerals again. So inhibiting your nutrient absorption because you are consuming these plant toxins. The oxalates also have the potential to stress the kidneys. They're blamed for kidney stones, and they're found in high levels in things like nuts, spinach, baked potatoes, rhubarb, beets. I think dark chocolate is on the list, high in oxalates. We have something called glycoalkaloids. These can be neurotoxin enzyme inhibitors, adversely impacting the function of your nervous system and your neurotransmitters. They are found in high levels in things like potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, and peppers. You may be familiar with the FODMAP diet, and that is an exclusion diet for people suffering from mysterious conditions where they have a strict list of things to avoid, with potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, the nightshade family prominent on that FODMAP list. We have sulforaphane. That is the exact molecule that you can hear Rhonda Patrick go off and extol the many amazing antioxidant benefits. But it can also, and this is again, when it's out of balance, consumed to excess or consumed by someone particularly sensitive to ingesting these leafy greens, sulforaphane can inhibit your internal antioxidant system and thereby promote cell death, apoptosis, and other adverse cellular reactions because you are out of balance or not processing this agent successfully. So a little bit of poison has a positive effect. It causes the antioxidant response in the body, and too much of it too frequently, or if you're too sensitive, or especially if you have an existing condition of leaky gut, you're going to be vulnerable and sensitive to all manner of plant toxins. And that's where you hear these people go and get their report, a stool report or whatever it comes from, and they have a list of 27 things they're allergic to or what have you. That just indicates or suggests an unhealthy gut lining and an increased sensitivity to all manner of plant toxins. But sulforaphane is high in the leafy green family. So the nutrient superstars of the plant kingdom can also turn against you and be the worst offenders. That would be things like kale, broccoli, cauliflower, radishes, Brussels sprouts, arugula. There's another thing called isothiocyanates. What these do is compete with iodine in the cells so they can cause problems with thyroid. And you have a lot of reformed vegetarian, vegan eaters talking about how they just trash their thyroid because they were consuming mass quantities of these leafy greens that are the centerpiece of a plant-based diet. But again, some people can thrive and they can get on podcasts and YouTube and talk about how wonderful they feel with all these leafy greens into their life, and other people, this can be secretly bringing you down. There's more categories, things like tannins, photosensitizers, salicylates, flavonoids, cyanogenic glycosides. Yes, that's right. They make cyanide in certain circumstances, in certain cell functions. And so as a group, in general, I'm going to contend that most people are subclinical with their reactivity to plant toxins, meaning that they're not rushing off to the doctor and feeling horrible and feeling diseased because they're eating salads or stir fries. But that's my takeaway point here is you deserve to try a 30-day experiment where you restrict virtually all plant foods if you're game, or at least restrict the most toxic plant foods from those categories of roots, leaves, stems, and seeds. So fruit, honey, the least offensive plant foods can probably stick around. It's very rare that people are highly sensitive to things like avocado, honey, and the fruit, and other acceptable plant foods. But whatever kind of experiment you're inclined to do, see how it goes. And of course, I'm fond of going all in on my health practices, my fitness endeavors. And so I tried, of course, the extreme carnivore restrictive diet as soon as I was awakened to this amazing movement. And because I was a healthy guy, I wasn't suffering from any acute health conditions. I did not have leaky gut syndrome. I didn't have this amazing health awakening where all of a sudden all these terrible things went away. But I did have a quieting of my digestion and elimination. In other words, nothing to report rather than, oh, yes, I get leaky pipes after hard workouts. Oh, yes, I get a bloated stomach for 3 to 4 hours after consuming a green smoothie. So that was a tremendous awakening to realize the absence of symptoms rather than getting on the podcast, firing up the mic and saying, I feel better than ever. I'm amazing. I have incredible stamina. it's all because I kicked out the plant foods. It was more like, hey, some optimization occurred and I jumped up from level 7 to level 8 in the most amazing and unthinkable way possible by putting away all those colors and all the things that we've been touting for so long as the centerpiece of the healthy diet.
I want to tell you about ShipStation. If you have an online business, shipping can be the craziest and most stressful part. I know we're always trying to optimize our shipping for direct orders of Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece or the B-Rad Whey Protein Superfuel. And with ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping again. Make the switch to a solution that handles all of your shipping needs quickly, affordably, and painlessly. The best part is time saving by funneling all of your orders into one simple interface. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, eBay, Etsy, or your own website, everything is coordinated so nicely. No more headaches from dealing with returns and return tracking. ShipStation makes everything easy. You also reduce error and increase automation with their excellent user-friendly software. And this is great. You can save money by comparing carrier options and choosing the best shipping option every time automatically. This is huge because what we typically do is have to log in to 3 different providers to see who ships cheaper to this place or that place. Ridiculous waste of time. ShipStation, super awesome. It works with every carrier. You always find the best fit, and your business can access the same discounted rates usually reserved for the large companies. So here we go. I want you to try this out if you have an online business. Just go to ShipStation.com and use my offer code Brad to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free with no hassle, stress-free shipping. I'm so glad I found this partner. Just go to ShipStation.com/Brad and make ship happen.
And oh my goodness, I should also report on the effect it had on my brain, because once I was convinced, once I was open to the possibility that the salad was not the king of the universe for Brad Kearns and for many others that I communicate with, that the stir fry was not an absolutely essential element of me being the healthiest guy I possibly could, I started to lose my appetite for them. And I'd look at the broccoli that was just served to me, and I couldn't bring myself to eat it because I suspected that it might not be the king ruler of the universe that I considered it to be, and that it could quite possibly be doing me harm. Oh my gosh, I threw the bags of frozen vegetables away so quickly, and never had that bloated stomach again from the big smoothie. And of course, I'll never go near a green smoothie for the rest of my life because the awakening has been so abrupt and striking. And so I have not been able to bring myself to consume a salad since early 2019, when previously I would report to anyone who wanted to listen how delicious and fantastic my super duper deluxe salads were. Now I'm thinking back to these amazing salads where probably the most enjoyment came from the protein source that was on there, right? So a salmon salad tastes great largely because it is imbued with delicious salmon, or a steak salad. It also doesn't hurt to have those wonderful dressings on there that have so much taste because of the savory nature, the high high-fat nature of the salad dressing. And of course, I would be liberal with sprinkling nuts and seeds on there and things that had more intense, flavorful enjoyment than the piles of vegetables. And yeah, the crunchy texture of chewing those red peppers is nice. But boy, you should have seen the look on Mark's face. You can look at it on YouTube when he was backed into that corner and trying to advocate and defend his consumption of the salad. So haven't had a salad, haven't had any stir fry. I have had very few vegetables of any kind in the last few years, just because my brain has been captured and brainwashed by the carnivore leaders. Had a great show with Dr. Sean Baker. Highly trained, highly intelligent folks here, the leaders of the movement. And boy, the least you could do is give them a listen and try for yourself. And Sean Baker's approach is more a bulldozer than the nuanced approach of Saladino. And he's a guy who's heading over to Costco, looking at the specials on the ribeyes and the burgers and eating pounds of meat every single day. He's not going out of his way to go nose to tail or too worried about the little peculiarities of which plant foods he should allow back into the picture. But what's interesting about Sean, besides his deep medical background and vast knowledge of health, is that he is breaking world records in his 50s. So another role model and cohort for me to look to for inspiration, setting world records in the Concept 2 rowing and performing at a high level, looking very strong and ripped and healthy. And so something he's doing is working. He has great articles on his website and on his podcast about how even a rudimentary approach to the carnivore diet has helped him to thrive and feel fantastic. Okay, all this to say that I have drifted into what I would call a carnivore-ish animal-based, animal-heavy diet rather than a plant-heavy diet as followed previously for many years. And I feel probably the best attribute is the nutrient density of my diet. And so I'm going to put that up there as the number one goal that I personally have and that I personally recommend is to maximize the nutrient density of the calories that you consume. Of course, you want to enjoy yourself and to feel like something that you can sustain for years and decades ahead. And when you have the most nutrient density, oh my gosh, of course it's sustainable because it is enjoyable and satisfying at that deep cellular and psychological level where you're getting what you need to thrive. So for example, probably most people can raise their hand and contend that when you're served a delicious omelet, it's highly nutritious and satisfying because of all the nutrient density in that food versus a bowl of plain oatmeal has less nutrient density and less dietary satisfaction accordingly. Oh, yes, that's right. You have to add brown sugar to it to increase the satisfaction level, but not so with an omelet or a delicious steak or the true superfoods of the earth and the carnivore scores food rankings chart. I did an entire show just covering the chart that was made with my sidekick in that project, Kate Kretzinger. And I look at that all the time. I inspire you to print it down off bradkearns.com. You can download it off the website, print it out, and put it on your refrigerator for a glance, because we tried to rank in a tiered fashion the most nutrient-dense foods on Earth, and that's the things that you can strive to emphasize to get your diet to the A-plus level. So, trip out on this, Kate's ingenious graphic here on the carnivore scores food rankings chart called the steak line, and you strive to eat most of your foods above the steak line. So it's a delineation line where below it are the foods that are lower ranked on nutrient density, and above it are the superstars, starting in the top category, the global all-stars. And in that top list, grass-fed liver, oysters, salmon, eggs, and caviar. So these are the true superstars with the most nutrient density, highlighting with liver, which across the board nutritional profile blows any other food away. We have grass-fed steak and things up there above the steak line, and down below, chicken, turkey, and pork. That's an amazing recent insight that I've come to understand further and appreciate further. But when we have the typical mass-produced factory animal that we have as the majority of what we can consume, unless we're working really hard to source the most sustainable animals. The chicken and the turkey and the pig take it worse than the cow. The cow is a ruminant animal with numerous stomachs, as are the other sources of red meat, things like buffalo, bison, elk, lamb, venison. And so they can process this crappy junk food grain-fed diet much more efficiently and deliver a superior end product with the fatty acid profile in the meat, what I'm talking about, than a chicken, a turkey, or a pig. And the chicken's life is so disastrous. And if you're worried about animal cruelty, they have a much worse life than a cow, who all cows spend about 80% of their lifetime out there grazing and grass-fed, roaming around. Then most cows get ushered into the feedlot for the final months of their life, and they gain hundreds of pounds in just a few months chowing on that feed. If you're driving on Interstate 5 in California, you will see them with their faces stuck into the trough and just chowing down and walking around in cramped quarters. And oh, it's so sad. Look at that terrible life the cows have. Yes, indeed, for the final months of their life in the feedlot. But the chicken is in a cage day and night with the lights on, typically in these mass-produced chicken facilities, because the chicken doesn't sleep when the lights are on. They're shot up with hormones, pesticides, and antibiotics so they don't get sick and die in these cramped, filthy quarters. The hormones make them grow faster so they can get to market faster. So these artificially inflated, fleshy chickens that didn't exercise, they were stuck in the cage their whole life, eating feed. They never had a chance to roam on the pasture. Boy, that's a vastly inferior choice with much more pain and suffering inflicted if you're going for that scoreboard. Think about this. I might have these stats wrong, but the average person eats beef at a rate of consuming one cow every couple of years, right? It takes a long time to eat a cow. Anyone who's gone in on a cow share, I did that with my neighbors years ago, where I bought a quarter of a cow for, I don't know what it was, a couple few hundred bucks. And oh my gosh, the amount of meat, it was stuffed full in the freezer for many months. It took a lot of months just to get through a quarter of a cow. A chicken, we eat at a rate of one every 2 weeks or something average, right? I mean, you can get a bird from the rotisserie at Costco or at the supermarket and eat it in a day or two. So that means more chickens are suffering and dying to feed you rather than sacrificing one cow every couple of years. So a huge vote in favor of red meat to be ranked above what many people widely blather as a dietary improvement when they say, oh yeah, I've cut out red meat and I eat a lot of chicken and fish. Well, look at the fish scoreboard too at places like Monterey Bay Aquarium or Seafood Watch. We'll put those links in the show notes where a significant percentage of fish are not recommended highly due to concerns about their raising, their sustainability, and their nutrient profile. For example, salmon, which I believe it's 90% of all salmon on the market are farm-raised. It's the number two most consumed fish behind tuna. And a lot of that tuna in the can might have an adverse ranking due to sustainability. So you want to get that line-caught tuna and look on the jar for signs that the company is concerned about the environment and sustainability. There's a lot of good brands out there proudly touting that their tuna is harvested gracefully. But the salmon, 90% of the salmon in these very crowded salmon farms, the species is called Atlantic. So it's Atlantic salmon is mostly what we're seeing in the restaurants and in the stores. And Atlantic, it does refer to an ocean on the globe, but it's just the species of salmon. So it's not necessarily caught wild in the Atlantic Ocean. A lot of waiters and waitresses, if you're listening, please add that to your content list, because a lot of times they're misinformed, and I ask them if it's wild caught, and they say, yes, it's Atlantic. I'm like, oh boy, okay. So the wild caught salmon will come from the Pacific, and there's several species, king, coho, and others that you can find, you know, up harvested in Alaska and shipped at a pretty affordable price if it's previously frozen, and then fresh found at the Trader Joe's has a great selection. Costco also if you're in the United States listening. But anyway, you can get wild-caught salmon also in a can if you're worried about affordability. So it's a very high-quality nutritional product, high-ranking, but inexpensive. And so we're trying to stay away from the farm salmon, but again, scrutinize further. That's what the rankings is all about. And I won't go deeper into the list because I did a whole show about it, but trying to prioritize that is a huge thing for me. And it's enhanced my appreciation and enjoyment of my diet so much to focus on nutrient density and thereby questioning the need of preparing this big giant salad in the name of health. So by this point, you probably have formed an opinion about an animal-based diet versus all the propaganda telling us that the plant-based are the healthiest and most eco-friendly consumers. But whatever you want to say about it, I will also put in a plug for the carnivore-ish eating strategy as the single most effective for fat reduction. So if you're frustrated with prior attempts to drop excess body fat, you've tried whatever, we know how futile it is to try to increase your exercise output and drop excess body fat because we simply eat more calories and make other compensations in our metabolic and hormonal function to kind of adjust and get drifted back toward our set point. And then if you've tried on the diet side, things like carb restriction, keto, a plant-based approach, it can also be difficult to sustain.
I'm pleased to present BRAD Grass-Fed Whey Protein Isolate Superfuel, the absolute highest quality, all-natural protein supplement infused with creatine that delivers everything you need to optimize your appetite for fat loss, recover quickly from workouts, and build and maintain lean muscle mass, the single most important attribute for aging gracefully. Our protein comes directly from small family farms in America's dairy land of Wisconsin. It's cold processed and microfiltered for maximum bioavailability and digestibility. So please don't mess with the many cheap commodity protein supplements that are ineffective, inferior, less pure, and often contain junk sweeteners, especially the plant-based offerings that are vastly less bioavailable than the gold standard of protein supplements, that's whey protein isolate. Whether you're in your peak athletic years looking to grow and recover, or in the older age groups trying to delay aging and decline, whey and creatine are widely agreed to be the most critical and effective supplements to take for the rest of your life. You can easily stir the superfuel in water or make a delicious smoothie every day. I'm certain that you're going to love the pleasant, light, natural vanilla bean and cocoa bean flavors. So try some on Amazon today. It's a huge hit with dozens of five-star reviews. Or you can order direct from bradnutrition.com with our buy three, get one free, and make the super fuel a centerpiece of your daily routine.
I want to discuss the incredible benefits of red light therapy and how you can get started with Mito Red Light. Mito, like mitochondria, red light makes the premier light therapy devices in the world and at incredibly affordable prices. I stand in front of my Mito Pro 1500 unit every morning, carefully exposing my eyeballs, other important balls, and my entire body to special wavelengths of red and near infrared light. When I tell people about my daily devotion to red light therapy, they typically ask, does this stuff really work? And the answer is yes, and there are thousands of studies supporting its effectiveness. Here's how. It's called photobiomodulation, where specific wavelengths of red and near-infrared light, red's visible, near-infrared is not visible, that's why it looks like only half of your panel's working, these wavelengths help mitochondria in cells throughout your body produce more energy and clear waste products more efficiently. Red light exposure helps mobilize nitric oxide trapped in the mitochondria and allows oxygen to return to the cell and increase ATP production. The benefits are proven again and again for skin health, muscle recovery, joint pain, and numerous inflammatory conditions. Red light therapy is also beneficial for circadian rhythm alignment, because we generally get far too little direct sunlight and too much indoor blue light from screens and light bulbs at the wrong times. You don't hear much about this benefit of red light therapy, but when I turn on those lights first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I walk across the hall, I stand in front of the panels, and I feel instantly awake and energized. And believe me, there's a lot of days where Mr. Health Guy here wakes up feeling a little groggy and a little whiny, like I don't want to get up now and get into my morning exercise routine. But when I stand in front of the lights, in 1 minute, I swear I feel wide awake. I get all that grogginess out naturally. It's super powerful, super effective. Besides all the healing and the cellular benefits, I also love it for being a natural wake-up machine. You have to try red light therapy. I am certain that you will become a devoted user. And guess what? Mito Red Light offers a 60-day no-risk trial period and a special 5% discount for BRAD podcast listeners. Just visit Mito Red Light, M-I-T-O, redlight.com, and use the code BRAD on any of their products. Go for it today and get started on your red light journey.
But when you are going for fat reduction and you attempt the carnivore strategy where you're going to focus for 30 days or however long on all animal foods, only animal foods, or almost all animal foods, what's going to happen is you're going to feel incredibly satisfied, satiated at every meal, right? You're going to have your four eggs for breakfast or whatever you want. You're going to have big steaks. You're going to have ground beef. You're going to have fish, and you're going to have these great meals where you're completely satisfied. You don't feel like eating more. You don't feel deprived. And you're also going to have extremely minimal insulin production and glucose spikes, which are a prominent cause of increased appetite. And so that winning combination is going to unlock your body fat from storage to burn off, provided you create that caloric deficit. And that can happen naturally and gracefully because there's only so many steaks you can eat. And at a certain point, you're going to feel like, hey, I've had enough for dinner. And so the success, the predicted success, is much better when you're feeling satisfied from your meals. You're not producing a lot of insulin. You're unlocking or you're upregulating insulin's counter-regulatory hormone, which is called glucagon. And glucagon, not glycogen, but glucagon, is what releases energy from storage and liberates it into the bloodstream. So it's taking the storage form of fat, which is triglycerides, and dumping it into the bloodstream as free fatty acids to burn. So you feel stable mood, energy, appetite, and you're eating these wonderful, delicious meals. You can handle it for a sustained period. You're not going to, drift back over into the ice cream pints because you're doing something silly like restricting calories. Because again, if we do a systematic restriction of calories, but we still produce a requisite amount of insulin because we're consuming a significant percentage of carbs in this restricted calorie diet, what's going to happen is we're going to be freaking hungry all the time, and the dials are all going to turn down from 11 or 10 or whatever they're on down to 7 or 6 or 5. So you're going to be feeling tired, sluggish. You're not going to want to work out as much. You might feel colder temperatures. I know even at times when I do extended fasting, I detect that my body temperature is a little low. I feel a little cold just walking around in the afternoon if I haven't had my delicious morning smoothie or midday meal. And that happens once in a while, and I contend that might be some thyroid and some other functions turning down a little bit due to the combination of lack of calories and when I performed a high-intensity workout during that day. So that's a good sign for me to go and get nourished, even if I'm not hungry, right? So this is another plug for the animal carnivore-ish diet if you're interested in that very prominent goal of fat loss. And I contend that that's really the centerpiece of what enabled me to drop 8 pounds of excess body fat in exactly 3 months. It was, I did a whole show on that, the Fatty Popcorn Boy Saga, and it was no trouble. It was just the combination of putting this arbitrary restriction in of not consuming any calories until noon, And again, I did that to enjoy and appreciate the benefits of fasting, but also just to have a rule in place. So departing from free pass to have unregulated caloric intake, including a greater variety of foods than just saying, look, I'm going to focus on this carnivore-ish strategy. And the ish stands for things like avocados, maybe the mini corn tortillas that go beneath a large pile of eggs or steak. So it wasn't incredibly strict and restrictive. And I only would recommend that highly for people who have autoimmune and inflammatory conditions. So if you restrict all plant intake for 30 days, you can discern changes in your nagging conditions, and then you can start to add back. And so you might think, hey, maybe I'll try a sweet potato and see if I react to that. And the super, super sensitive folks will find, will come to this list of approved foods that they can have. It might be kind of small, and other people might find that they really don't have any trouble digesting anything. And I would say that I'm in that category of pretty adaptable, but again, not to the extent of going and preparing this huge, super duper green smoothie where I get massive doses of oxalates and all the other fancy sounding stuff that I talked about that can cause problems, including gas, bloating, transient digestive pain, and elimination difficulties. Oh, and so it's no picnic to follow a highly restrictive diet, even for a short time. And so I allowed dark chocolate to hang around so that I wouldn't trip out about how difficult my journey was and how strict I was to only eat carnivore or carnivore-ish meals. And so that's why I joked with people that I was on the CNC diet and that it was so successful. And maybe I'll write a book with that as the catchy title. But anyway, my single indulgence, or I guess most prominent indulgence, is this artisan dark chocolate that I source from around the globe, and I've become a connoisseur. I've learned a lot about it, the production methods, how to source the best stuff. Had a great show with gourmet chocolate maker Sean Eskenazi from Eskenazi.com. Fantastic chocolate, some of the best in the world, and was especially taken to learn that the mainstream product that we buy and see in the store at that familiar, affordable price point is almost certainly sourced from child slave labor in Africa due to the poorly regulated business of cacao farming, which happens in the equatorial regions of the globe, particularly in Africa, that's responsible for most of the production, a big percentage. The rest of it would be in South America with small percentages in Asia, places like Hawaii. So if you're buying an inexpensive chocolate bar that you found on the shelf at a mainstream grocery store, or even sadly at most Whole Foods that I visit, they have the same selection of chocolate bars. Some of them look really healthy and eco-friendly, and 10% of the profits are donated to the rainforest, but you can look on the back of the bar and look at the ingredients. And if you do not see cacao beans as the first ingredient, this implies that the bar was made with commodity ingredients, so of unknown source or origin, most likely from cheap sources and poorly processed. A lot of times they will just indiscriminately harvest the cacao beans, including the rotten ones, and they will burn the crap out of them during the roasting process so that they mask the smell and then dump sugar into the bar, especially if it's lower than 80%, which is what I try to strive as my cutoff. And then you're buying sort of this palatable product, but you're supporting slave labor and you're not getting the best health benefits. So you want to source bean-to-bar dark chocolates. Bean-to-bar designation means that the manufacturer, Eskenazi, there in St. Louis, Missouri, got the beans in the gunny sack shipped from the equatorial area where they source the farmer. They know they're getting great quality beans. In Eskenazi's case, he gives a share of his corporate profits to the farmers down in South America that he deals with. Wonderful story. So try to be discriminate with your, even with your indulgences and all your foods, by looking on the Carnivore Scores food rankings chart. And of course, going for the big picture items like sourcing grass-fed for your beef and pasture-raised for your eggs and your poultry, and so forth. And I'm enjoying my relationship with ButcherBox. You can go on my website for on the recommendations page, and you can click on ButcherBox, and you get a great introductory offer to add to your basket, your custom design basket that you can order and ship to your house every month or whatever frequency you want. So there's no pressure. Mine gets eaten up every month for sure. And so I'm a huge ButcherBox customer. They source the very best grass-fed beef, pasture-raised poultry, sustainable fish, heritage breed pork. So if you're looking in the pork category, you want to find that designation heritage breed. That implies that the pig was raised in more favorable conditions than a feedlot pig. Okay, so that's a lot of commentary getting you up to present day. I should mention that after I achieved my fat reduction goal, I relaxed my commitment to both the carnivore emphasis and especially the fasting until 12 noon, especially putting in the super-duper superfuel smoothie that I can't wait to share with you when our product comes to market in the coming months. And it's the ultimate whey protein superfuel infused with other performance agents like creatine, glutamine, just absolutely fantastic centerpiece to my diet and to my performance and recovery and longevity goals. So relaxing that commitment about watching the clock and also allowing whatever other indulgent foods I want to come in, such as the occasional bowl of popcorn for fatty popcorn boy. And this is all, I think, in the interest of enjoying my life, right? I don't need to go get a bowl of popcorn for nutritional purposes, nor whatever other treats you might find or catch me consuming here and there. Mostly dark chocolate, again, if I had my choice, or, you know, I'm at a family gathering and dessert is presented and I pass because I'd rather just have a few squares of my chocolate with all other things being equal, right? Okay, so the main purpose here is to enjoy my life and also direct those precious and scarce assets of focus, discipline, and willpower into other areas of my life, like staying away from my email inbox when I'm trying to write a book. But the current status of Brad's diet, remember that movie, Brad's Status? Yes, there's a movie with Ben Stiller. It's actually pretty good. And believe it or not, it was set in Sacramento. That's pretty funny. Anyway, Brad's Status today is this CNC type of dietary pattern where it's carnivore-ish with a lot of gourmet dark chocolate. And I want to do a whole other show with more details on the lasting benefits of my current dietary strategy. So we will hit that with part three. And thank you for listening to this wonderful part two. Again, we appreciate your comments, feedback so much. podcast@bradventures.com. Go to town and share the show with others. Take care. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. Hey, this is going to be one of my favorite commercials because I get to introduce you to the delicious, nutritious, life-changing Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece. This is a mind-blowing nut butter blend that will soon ascend to your number one go-to snack, treat, or accoutrement for anything from dark chocolate, a cucumber celery smear, or mixed in with yogurt, oatmeal, cheesecake, or with a spoon right into your mouth, heading south. Let me tell you what I created in my kitchen through whirlwind experimentation and extreme sampling to my VIP product testing crew across the nation so far with 100% approval. In this beautiful jar, we have macadamia nuts, walnuts, cashews, the rare and precious coconut butter, coconut flakes, cacao nibs, real ancient sea salt, and organic MCT oil. Every single ingredient has been sourced to origin to be the very best we could find from around the world for the absolute highest purity and nutritional value. We run this product in small batches with a boutique family business in the Pacific Northwest, and everything is cold pressed to preserve nutritional value. So if you like eating healthy, it's a dream come true for all those who are keto, primal, paleo, and vegan, vegetarian too. I come in peace, my global healthy living friends. Masterpiece, that is. Try some now and it will change your life. I promise. If you don't like it, send it back to me. I'll eat it. You can order Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece on Amazon. Simple, simple. Or if you're bold, daring, and adventurous, buy three and get a bottle free at bradventures.com. Buy six and we'll send you 8. Christmas shopping early instead of late at bradventures.com. Check it out, Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece.
Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.